Good evening. When Ken asked me to do this, one thing he's not mentioned is how slow time moves up here behind the sacred desk. So, reading from Lamentations 3, 21 to 27. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore have I hope. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seek him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let us all kneel as we come before the Lord in prayer.
Bring you greetings once again in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I too am excited, Brother Ken, to see the young and the younger, and it's good to see so many people in the house of the Lord this evening. We've come to graduation night of the revival series here at Pleasant Hill. Before we speak to the crowd here this evening, reminder just to go over our memory verse once again from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Join with me. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. As we focus on the young people here this evening, I believe this message is geared toward all of us. Life can be very difficult at times, and you young people are not exempt from that. There will be valleys, there will be shadows, there will be difficulties, and some of you have already walked through those kinds of circumstances in life. You know what those valleys feel like. Our young people back home the last year, they too walked through a deep valley, shadow of death. God in his sovereignty, and for reasons that are not clear to us, called Curtis Groff home on May 2nd. And it left a incredible hole in our youth group back at White Oak. At that memorial service for Curtis on his 17th birthday, the youth group there from White Oak sang a song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And God is faithful. When circumstances around us shake our faith in God, it is so helpful to remember that God is still faithful and his faithfulness is still great. If you open your green hymnal, turn to number 48, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Your hymnal, some hymnals have a verse attached to this hymn taken straight from Lamentations chapter 3, verses that were read this evening. It says, His compassions fail not, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. A lot of songs that we sing about God. This is a song that we are actually singing to God. And just keep that in mind. Tonight, we can sing this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We can sing it with hope, and we can sing it with a heart of worship. Our chorister this evening, Brother Eric Bevenauer, is not just a brother in the Lord, but he's also one of my co-workers. And so of all you people from Pleasant Hill, I probably see him the most. And so it's good to have him leading singing here this evening. We're going to stand and sing with all of our heart. Brother Eric's going to lead us in number 48, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's sing together.
Mm-hmm. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow
Brother Eric, for leading us in that, remembering that God has been faithful and God always will be faithful. It's not often that we turn to the book of Lamentations, and so if you haven't turned to that scripture while Greg was reading it, I invite you to turn to it now. If you find Psalms in the middle of your Bible and continue to turn back through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and then you come to Lamentations. If you come to Ezekiel and Daniel, you went too far. This book, Lamentations, was written by Jeremiah. And as we approach our scripture for this evening, he is deeply grieved. And with tears running down his cheek because he sees the destruction and the devastation. But through that difficult time and what he's noticing there around him, he is reminded through his tears, he also sees the goodness of God and his compassion and the hope. And I want to focus our thoughts on that this evening as we think about the promises of God. Young people, I don't know what the average age is of you here this evening. I don't know if the average age might be 18 or maybe a little bit older than that, but you would not believe what all has happened since you were born. About the time you were born, George W. Bush was president. The first iPhone was marketed. Facebook and Twitter went global. Airbnb was founded. Google acquired YouTube. Back when you were born, there was a war in Iraq. We had global economy was volatile and a lot of other things happening. And so things have been changing rapidly since you were born. And I believe that things will change even faster going forward from here. And so 18 years, a lot has happened in your own lives. In that time, you accomplish a lot of big things. You learn to eat food and you learn to crawl and walk and ride tricycle and bicycle and lots of other things. You got your driver's license and started jobs and careers. And it's just a continually growing in lots of different ways. You know, this spring, I might have been the only one here that was intrigued by it, but we got to watch eagles on an eagle cam in Lancaster County, and I think there might even be one out here in York County, too. And so you could tune into that every day, or probably not every day, but occasionally, and you could see the progress that those young eagles were making. Back this winter when it was still cold and snowy and that female eagle was laying eggs and the snow was blowing sometimes and it was rainy and cold and after a while they hatched. The ones I was watching, three of them hatched, but one didn't make it. So there was just two of them. And you could watch them start to grow as the parents were bringing food in for them. And then sometimes you couldn't hardly see them because they were down in the nest, but then they got up higher and higher. And after a while, they were perched around the edge of the nest. And then they were perched out on the twigs out at the edge and outside the nest. And then they started to fly. I didn't see the day they took off flying, but I think you call that fledging maybe or something like that. And so and that's just how we all are. You know, we grow, we flex our wings, and we take off, and we learn to fly. Now, with eagles, when they learn to fly, they take off, and they come back again because they still need their parents to provide some food for them. And so maybe that's how it is with you young people. You come back to get food. But anyway, and they learn survival skills. They learn to launch. They learn to land and take off, and they learn to hunt and all those necessary things to becoming independent, to be on their own, and they learn everything. You know, we're all, doesn't matter what age we are, we're all learning survival skills, learning to trust in God. It starts when we're young, and I'm still learning to trust in God. Nothing blesses me more than hearing testimonies of people whose faith was strengthened even when they went through difficult times. learning to trust in God, learning because He is faithful. Life for all of us, even you young people, you know, life brings us, when we're driving, brings us to traffic circles. You have one out here in Abbottstown that I don't know how long that one's been there, but ever since I've been coming this direction for the last 20 years or so, it's been there. So I'm guessing it goes back much further than that. And we have some that we just added some in our area. And traffic, we've become more accustomed to them in our driving. They added a couple in the Lititz area, and so we're used to them. And they're that type of circular intersection where traffic flows around that center circle, central island, and vehicles entering must yield to those that are already in the circle. And you make a right turn to get on it, and then you have a couple of choices to make, three of them going around the circle to turn right again to take you in whatever direction you want to go. And so you enter that traffic circle with lots of possibilities. You're not supposed to stay on the traffic circle. You got three options to get off, or you're getting off in the same direction you just came from. Traffic circles aren't like merry-go-rounds where you keep going around. You get on and you get off again, but the direction you want to go determines which right turn you take when you're on the traffic circle. We're familiar with them, and we decide to take the one that best takes us in the direction we want to go. And life is much like this with many traffic circles. There's constant decisions that need to be made, and the direction we are going is the result of the decisions that we have made previous to that. So we're headed in a certain direction with our life because of the decisions we've made in the past. The direction we'll go in the future is a result of the decisions we're going to make going forward. Everyone is faced with those decisions when we will exit this traffic circle. You know, if we have a plan as to where we're going and where we want to end up, it helps us decide that next choice in front of us. If we know where God is calling us and we have a plan in place of where we want to go, it helps us make those choices. Go back with me now to our text from this evening, this hope-filled portion of Lamentations 3. Three times in these seven short verses is the word hope. This hope that Jeremiah writes about is not merely wishful thinking, but it's a confident expectation and assurance rooted in God's character and promises. Because Jeremiah knows who God is, he can have hope. It allows him to move forward with hope. This is a joyful anticipation of good things yet to come. Biblical hope is tied to faith in God. Biblical hope is tied to our faith in God. This hope provides strength and endurance, allowing us believers to persevere even through difficult times. It's not as hard to push forward when things are going smoothly. But when we bump up against times that are tough, it is much more difficult, and we need that hope. You know, our hope, when and only it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have our hope anchored in Jesus Christ, it's like a ship's anchor, and it keeps us believers steady and secure no matter if we're facing storms or easier times in our life. When we have our faith firmly rooted in Jesus Christ, it keeps us steady and secure. Jeremiah, the writer of this book of Lamentations, when he remembers God, and he goes on to state in these verses what he knows of God, then he has hope. When he remembers what he knows about God, that gives him hope, and he can move forward in that. He goes on When we take what we know about God from His Word, His unchanging nature, and His faithfulness and His promises that we sang about, we can experience a hope knowing that God will fulfill the promises that He has given us. Back this spring, the Brethren Community Chorus filled our hearts with songs, and there, some of you probably listened to it. Some of you might have been a part of that, and those songs were the theme of those songs for that Brethren Community Chorus was about the attributes of God, all the different attributes that make up God. And it was a beautiful time together, and it was just those that got that together. It was a beautiful morning, an evening. I heard the morning service. Some of you might have heard the evening service. Either way, it was just a beautiful time of worshiping the Lord, the good time together in the fellowship. And it was one of those times, the worship service, fellowship, one of those times where you could just feel the Holy Spirit in that place. It was just a beautiful time together. It was inspiring. You didn't want to miss it. You never know when one of those occasions is, and when you're a part of it, it's beautiful when you're there. You can't duplicate it. You can't replicate it. You can't plan for it. And when you're in the midst of it, it's just praising the Lord to be a part of it. Back to when we recall to mind, I just brought that up to mention that was about, they sang about different attributes of God. Back to when we recall to mind who God is, His attributes, when we think about the all-encompassing attributes and characteristics of who God is, it gives us hope. The God that we know from His Word never changes. He is the same God who always was and always will be. The nature of God, as the Scripture writes about Him, is the same as the God of the future. It is the same God. It is unchanging. He's merciful and compassionate. As the writer says, He is good when it is good when we patiently wait, seeking Him. It's good, the writer writes here in Lamentations, when we hope, quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. To begin to know God is to know His attributes and His characteristics. And so here tonight, for the sake of our young people that are up front here, for the young people in the back, us with a little more years of walking with the Lord, I just would like to hear from your experiences and from your understanding of God. Let's just name, I have about 15 or 18 attributes and characteristics of God that we know from Scripture that have been and always will be. Shout them out for these young people up front to hear them tonight. What are the attributes, characteristics of God? He is omniscient, means He is all-knowing. Forgiving. He is a forgiving God. Eternal. He is eternal. He is going to go on forever from beginning. There is no beginning and no end to God. What else? All-powerful. He's omnipotent. What else?
Unchanging.
Never changing, always the same. What else?
Loving.
He is loving. What else?
Omnipresent.
He is everywhere. Others.
Merciful.
He is merciful. What else?
Just.
He is just. Heard another one. He is holy. More.
Faithful.
He is faithful.
Long-suffering.
He is long-suffering. I'll give you a couple more that I have on my list here. I believe we had eternal and holy. He is almighty. He is great. He is gracious. He is infinite. I believe it goes along with understanding that our minds are finite. He is infinite. He is immutable, never changing. We had that one. He is faithful and loving, but he is also immanent, which means he is very close to us. He is a God that is with us. He is sovereign, meaning he is over all. He answers to nobody. He is just and righteous. He is also, though, incomprehensible, which means we can understand some of who God is, but in our finite minds, we cannot understand everything about who God is. He is good, and he is also wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Young people, tonight, I just ask you to find and learn to know this God who never changes. Those attributes that we shouted out from here tonight, they will be the same in 10 years from now. They will be the same in years to come. This God never changes. Knowing God and his promises gives us hope. Jeremiah writes that first verse, "When I recall to my mind," or when I remember who God is, his attributes and his characteristics, his promises, it gives me hope. We can go on from here knowing that. Thinking about all the moving on now to the second part, thinking about all the promises of God. Someone has believed there may be as many as 7,000 or more promises from God to humanity in Scripture, encompassing forgiveness and peace, provision, guidance, the promise of wisdom and eternal life and his presence and his love. Some of those promises, though, are specific to certain people or people groups. Some are covenantal and some are just for believers. What is important to remember that while his promises are true and reliable, they are often conditional upon our faith, obedience, and trust in him. He doesn't promise us all of those promises without believing, trusting, and obeying his word. I chose a few personal promises for you young people here this evening. And you can choose one for yourself if you'd like. You can choose all four, or you can go to Scripture and choose another one if it feels like it fits your life better where you are today. The first promise I chose for you young people is the promise that God promises to be your strength. There's two verses from Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord," but those who hope in the Lord, "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." There's another verse from Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God's strength, young people, is an empowerment, a divine empowerment, and it's courage when facing life's challenges. God also gives spiritual strength, spiritual nourishment that renews our minds, and it brings peace and encourages us as believers to persevere. You know, young people, there may be times in the days ahead when you feel weak or you feel afraid, and God will give you the strength and the courage to persevere, to press on. God will also provide you the strength to overcome temptation and to make good choices. He will even allow you to find joy in difficult circumstances. In repentance, God strengthens us to be free from the power of sin through Jesus Christ. Young people, pray for God to strengthen you when facing difficulties, when you're facing challenges, when you're facing uncertainty, or when you're overwhelmed, or even just pray for strength to be able to serve others. God brings people into your life Pray for strength to be able to serve them well in the name of Christ. With God's strength, you will be able to accomplish more, and your life will bring greater glory to God. God, the one who is omnipotent and all-powerful, promises strength. Learn to receive his strength and lean on it. Another promise I've chosen for you young people tonight is God promises to be your provider. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Psalm 23:1, another verse to go along with providing. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." As a believer in Jesus Christ, you can find hope in this promise that God will provide for your needs. God is a faithful provider who cares deeply for you, and he will meet all of your needs according to his plan. You can trust God when he says not to worry about food, drink, or clothing, because the Heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. He has promised to supply these things when you seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. God's promise of provision, though, is not only for spiritual or for physical needs, but God promises to fulfill your spiritual needs as well and your emotional needs. God can provide peace in the midst of pain and loss. He can provide strength in the midst of weakness or fear. He can provide guidance in the midst of the unknown. He can provide a way of escape in the midst of temptation. He can provide rest when you're weary. He can also provide grace when you don't deserve it. And he can provide salvation to those who surrender. And when you stop and think about God and all his attributes and his characteristics, there's nothing outside of God's ability to provide. God can provide whatever it is that you need. Learn to trust God, who promises to supply all your needs. A third promise for you young people this evening is God promises to give you wisdom. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him." Another place in the Old Testament, Proverbs 2, 6 and 7 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." The word of God clearly states that God is the one who gives wisdom. He is the ultimate source of wisdom. And scripture invites us, God, we have his promise there, he invites us to ask him for wisdom and he will supply it. God encourages us to ask for wisdom, and he doesn't even find fault with us when we ask for it. He invites us to come to him asking for wisdom. Scripture at another place in Proverbs invites us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. Sometimes we might think we know the way, but if we would just stop and ask God first for his wisdom, as believers, God's wisdom could protect us from making foolish decisions or keep us instead on the right path. God reveals his wisdom to us through his word. We have the Bible, the holy word of God. He reveals his wisdom through the word. He reveals his wisdom through prayer. He reveals his wisdom through the Holy Spirit. And he can also provide wisdom through other believers. Wisdom will play a crucial role in our lives. It will not only help us make good decisions, but it helps us to know what is right and wrong or what is sinful. Wisdom helps us make those decisions. It can determine those ways that will bring peace and joy It helps us make wisdom, will help us avoid those things that bring cause anxiety or stress or despair in our lives. Decisions, as I said, will come our way every day, some with the ability to provide much more of an impact than others. Allow God to give you his wisdom that comes from him above, comes from him alone. Worldly wisdom, according to Scripture, worldly wisdom does not come from above. Scripture says it is earthly, sensual, and devilish. God invites us to ask him for his wisdom, and we can continually seek that out because it is pure. His wisdom is pure, is peaceable, is gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. God promises his wisdom when we ask for it. The fourth promise I have for us here this evening, God promises to always be with you. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now that was written specifically to Joshua. Oftentimes we claim it, and we can too, because in Hebrews 13:5 it says, "Let your conversation or your life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God's word promises over and over again to his children that he is always with us. Fear is very popular weapon that the enemy Satan, that he uses against us. Satan wants us to be afraid, wants us to be anxious, wants us to be stressed out and fearful. He wants us to believe that he wants to instill fear in our hearts. He tells lies about God. He wants us to believe that God is distant and far away and absent from us and doesn't care about us. That's Satan's desire, to plant those seeds in our minds. Nothing is further from the truth. As you grasp that blessing, that promise of one of God's children, of having the presence of God with you, it will allow you to live courageously. When you realize that God is with you, it will allow you to live courageously. Being aware that you're never alone gives us a deeper connection to God. His presence will offer us a sense of safety. It will give us courage and strength, allowing us to be overcomers in this world. One who lives, allow us to live as one who lives victoriously. Knowing that God is by your side, it will give you a sense of security, especially in the difficult times. Allow God's presence in your life to provide guidance. Allow his presence to give you wisdom and helping you navigate challenges and making important decisions. Living in the presence of God, young people, will allow you to live a transformed life. As you become more aware of God's love for you and as you strive to live in the will of God, having God right beside you, he knows your strengths, he knows your weaknesses, he knows how to help you live courageously, he knows how to help you live victoriously as a child of his. He understands you as he walks alongside with you. Lean into that promise that God is always with you and he will be with you as he calls you to serve him. You can claim one of those promises. You can claim all of those promises. You can claim another promise from God's word. Better yet, get to know this amazing God of the Bible who created you. He loves you and desires for you to be a dedicated child of his throughout all of eternity. I trust you, as the writer of Lamentations says, "This I recall to my mind, the attributes, the characteristics, the promises of God. When we recall those to our mind, therefore I have hope." Therefore we can go on in hope. Our hope, grounded in Jesus Christ, as I said at the beginning, I compared it to a ship's anchor, and it keeps us as believers steady and secure in the midst of the sea of life, even in the midst of storms. When we know the attributes of God and His promises, it's like an anchor wherever we find ourselves. There's a story that helps illustrate what or who we put our trust and our faith in is of utmost importance. There was a businessman who worked at a high rise in New York City. And he was well-to-do, but he was frugal. He didn't like to spend money if he didn't have to. And so in his office up there, he was required to pay a service fee for maintenance of his office building. One day he noticed one of the 8-foot fluorescent bulbs, you can tell this goes back a little bit, this was before LEDs and all the other things. One of those 8-foot bulbs had burned out. And so he thought about it. He wasn't particularly excited about paying the fee to have the maintenance department change it. And so he bought one, brought it along to work, and changed that bulb himself. And that was easy. When the job was finished, he realized he now had a bulb to dispose of that wasn't going to fit in his trash can beside his desk, being 8 foot long. Wasn't quite sure what to do with it. And so then he remembered that there was a dumpster at a work site where he got all on and off the subway on his way to and from work each day. Remembered seeing that work site dumpster sitting there. And so with the bulb in his hand, he headed back home. And the subway ride as he went toward home got fuller and fuller as they went. He continued to hold on to his 8-foot light bulb, and needing to make room for others, he stood up and he held the bulb upright to take up less room. And more riders got on at stops along the way, and after a while, riders, thinking that the glass tube was a handrail, hung on to the bulb as well. And so as he's riding along, several people are hanging on to the fluorescent tube. Arriving at his stop, his destination, in time to get off, and not wanting to make a scene and not knowing what to do, there's still numerous people clutching his bulb, and so he made the quick decision to just hop off and left the rest of the people hanging on to his fluorescent bulb. Yeah, that's a humorous story. But had that subway needed to make a quick stop, there was going to be people riding that subway that day were in for a real surprise that the handrail that they were trusting in was not to be trusted. There was no support in that glass tube. The point of the story is that trusting God as an anchor is the only anchor. You know, we at times put our trust in our faith in things around us rather than in God Himself. And they will always let us down. They are not to be trusted. God alone is to be trusted as our anchor. Lamentations 3 verse 21 says, "This I recall to my mind," thinking again of God's attributes, His characteristics, and His promises. "Therefore have I hope." I challenge you young people to get to know God better, get to know His characteristics and His attributes so that you can fully rely on Him and His promises to guide you each step of the way as your Lord and Savior. This evening, as we come to the close of this service, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you're here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I invite you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. If you're here tonight and you've been trusting in something or someone other than Jesus Christ and would like to come back to Him and follow him more closely. Drive a stake in the ground. Make him your Lord and Savior once again. I invite you to do the same. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. What number will we sing, Eric? Turn in your green books to number 66. If you would like to accept Christ or rededicate your life to him and trust him more fully, stand or come forward as we sing number 66.